Jeff and Linda, thank you, thank you, thank you. It was world class.
Woo!
Yes.
I have to tell you that if you weren't there, you missed it. It was really, really the most amazing midsummer. And if you consider that, we had almost 400 people there. And, you know, you can never make everyone happy. And we just allow that. But I don't think there were very many people that didn't have a really good time.
It was incredible. Awe of it. Yeah, as you could see from the slides, and like David said, even if you weren't there, I think you get the feel. It was just, it was amazing. I mean, there was, we had excellent speakers. We had really good channels. A lot of dancing,
celebration. There was a huge amount of celebration, and that was really, really fun. You know what else I noticed?
What did you notice?
Well, I think it had an effect because we've always had, the Chambre has always been kind of decent looking, but this is a particularly good looking group.
Kind of good looking.
Yeah.
You know, really that's probably because they've been practicing their blowing job. It's,
Don't start. It's too early.
Kuthumi took us through the getting rid of problems.
Oh my goodness.
You don't have any problems. You're just bored. So he took us through all that. It was great. But, you know, and I got to get a little emotional watching this live program and, you know, the music. And just, you know, when I'm an older man, I'm going to... I'm going to sit and look at all the slide programs and just recount some of the incredible memories. And I get a little too emotional even to go into them, but it was an incredible, incredible gathering of Chambre.
You just couldn't not be there and not enjoy it. I mean, it was just... Ugh.
And the amazing thing is that as I was watching the slides playing, I thought, we have come a long way in 7 years. 7 years seems like... Like it was just yesterday. 7 years ago, we were sitting in a teepee in Woodland Park, Colorado, which is just near Colorado Springs. There was a group of about 20 of us. It was a summer afternoon like this. It was August 1999. And we gathered around. It was the biggest group I'd ever channeled before. And I was nervous. There was like 20 or so. And we gathered in the teepee and we lit a fire. It was kind of like today. It was... It was a little overcast, and we knew the rain was going to roll in. We lit the fire, and we smoked ourselves out of there. I mean, we were bad fire builders. We used wet wood, and it was terrible. Awful. Everybody was coughing. I'm trying to channel through the smoke. And
there were spiders.
And then on top of that, Tobias, for this first major channel, Tobias told everybody that their guides were leaving.
And so did the audience.
That was about it. I mean,
immediately. Oh, nice, Jeff. Bye.
You know, and it wasn't even that nice. It was like, ugh. You know, and I mean, I told Linda on the way home that night, it was a long drive, and I said, I think that's it for public channeling. I'll go back to doing private sessions. I mean, this was guides were like the thing in the new energy or the new age.
Yeah, everybody, you weren't nobody unless you had guides.
Oh, and you had to have hundreds, maybe thousands of guides.
And
my guide is bigger than yours.
Echelons, and, that's correct.
You know, my guides can kick your guide's celestial butt. And Tobias says, no guides, you're on your own. So that was our beginning 7 years ago.
And besides the fact that it's a handsome crowd, my little heart's kind of jumping because we don't normally show the audience real early in the meeting because they're usually kind of delinquent and slow and coming.
Well, they are.
And
but today we
the
have...
The room is full. Go ahead, show them the audience. Show them the audience.
We do audience shots right before the channel, you know, because then it's full. But, yeah, we have a good crowd here today.
Yeah.
It is the first shout of the teacher series.
That's why I think they're so excited about that.
You know,
I am.
I can generally feel Tobias kind of coming in.
Is
usually
it him or one of his buddies?
No, it's Tobias.
Okay.
Definitely.
That's fine.
I can feel him coming in beforehand and...
I didn't
it's
want
a
any more
very
lessons on blowing,
loving,
anyways.
Calm energy that I felt coming in today, which is really nice.
I'm kind of keyed up, actually.
We have a lot of material to cover. I got to get my action wand here.
Do we do this thing?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. I know we have a lot of people who have not been here before or are from out of town.
Yeah.
And we'd like to acknowledge you. So David's going to take the mic out. This is your chance to say hi to the 20,000 people listening in on the internet and say whatever you'd like.
Okay, we've got Marilyn McLean from BC, Canada. Where are you?
Right in the front row.
I know I'm a graduate. Or yeah. Go soon to be.
Hi, Marilyn.
Hi.
First time here, right?
Yes.
Isn't it wonderful?
I've never even seen it because I don't
really?
I just have dial-up. So.
Say hi to your husband. Say hi to your son.
Yeah, Joseph and Eric.
Yeah. And you're here for the Obama School.
Yes, I am.
I understand we have quite a few Obama-ers here. Yeah,
very
they
good.
All look a little like, oh, what's going to happen?
They should be. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll see you tomorrow.
Anyway, Marilyn, good seeing you again.
Charlotte Morgensen from Copenhagen, Denmark. Hi, Charlotte.
Charlotte,
nice
good to see you.
You
again.
Good to see you.
I see you everywhere but Denmark almost. And Canada and who knows where. Good to see you.
Yeah,
do you want to say something in Danish?
If you give her a chance.
Præsten skid på marken. Kyst halte hjemme.
Under flippin' floppin'.
Yeah. Good to see you.
Took the words right out of my mouth. Thank you.
Menno Aller, also from Copenhagen. Where are you? Ah, good to see you again.
Likewise.
Very good. You've been hanging around since the Midsummer Conference.
Yeah, I just love it here.
Yeah.
It's good weather, too.
I've been here for about a month now.
About a month. Lovely. Where have you been? In Colorado?
Well, I've been all over the place. Colorado, Ohio.
Sorry.
Hang on.
Atlanta.
We're mixing metaphors there.
I have about 6,000 miles on my car. So.
Wow.
Just over 10 days.
Well, welcome to our humble, rustic meeting place.
Thank you.
But
I've been here before.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well,
good to see you again.
Thank you.
Joep Klaassens, also from Netherlands. Hi, Joep.
Is it Netherlands or Holland?
Both.
But the official name is... Your official name is Netherlands.
So if I'm writing a letter to you and I put your address on there and I put Holland,
could go to Wisconsin
or Michigan.
It will get to you.
It will get to you.
There's
I'm
a Holland,
always so
Wisconsin,
confused.
And Holland, Michigan. You know.
I realize that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, and you've been here in the States for?
I've been at the conference too, and then
right.
I did the workshop, and still going to be around here for 1.5 week or so.
Yeah. You're going to Kentucky or Tennessee for
Tennessee
a workshop?
Tennessee for a workshop.
Ah,
yeah.
Very
have
good.
You been to Tennessee before?
No.
Oh, that'll be interesting.
It'll be an adventure.
Yeah. That's where they did that movie Deliverance, I think.
Watch your mouth. Whee!
Anyway.
So...
It's not me, it's Kasumi.
Kasumi,
I
yeah.
swear that was Kasumi.
There, it's out.
I would never do anything like that.
It's out. He has no idea. You know what? He has no idea. That's such a cult film. Nobody knows what that is.
Oh, yeah.
Does anybody know what that is?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, I might play the bad guy this time.
Yeah.
So.
Gene, go ahead. Don't rent it for him.
So do you want to say anything to the folks back home?
Yeah. Wel Els en de meisjes in IJsden de groeten doen en Barbara in Amsterdam met de mensen die daar mee luisteren. En ik ben binnenkort weer terug, dus dan zie ik jullie wel weer. That's
Thank
it.
You.
Thank you. Siv Glosvik, and I know I said that wrong, from Norway. Where are you? Ah, will you say your name right for me?
Hello, my name is Siv. Not Eve, because everybody in America tends to call me Eve.
Ah.
Eve, okay.
Siv. I'm from Bergen in Norway.
Yes.
And this is the first time here in Crimson Circles.
Yeah.
I'm joining the Ohama School.
Welcome.
Oh, okay.
So, that's all I want to say.
Great. Thank you very much. Norway's a beautiful place.
And at one point, we had a couple Iranians on. Romanians.
Romanians. Close, Linda.
I would welcome Iranians.
Absolutely.
I'd pass out in shock, but they're welcome.
But Romanians are not here.
No, there are Sylvia and Liliana aren't here. They're on the list, but I don't think they're here.
I think they headed back.
Yeah,
early.
They headed back. Okay. Yeah. And then Curtis Atkinson from Jonesboro, Arkansas. Where are you, Curtis? Here?
Way in the back.
Welcome.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here. I just did a search on the net and found this place. So I didn't think I was ever going to get here, though.
It's a long way.
I finally did. I'm anxious to see what's going on and learn a little bit.
Great. Glad you're here. How long of a drive was that?
Do I?
How long of a drive? About 20 hours?
From Arkansas?
Yeah.
Yes, it's 20 hours. It's 1,000 miles.
Yeah, it's a long drive.
Have you been in Arkansas for a long time?
Pretty well. I've been in a lot of places.
Well, I'm asking. I have an agenda. I haven't heard anybody from Arkansas here in a long time, and I never have known anybody from Arkansas that didn't do the suey peg thing.
The what?
Oh, damn.
Why don't you do it?
Yes. Well, that's in the northern part of Arkansas.
That's right. You've got to get your geography right.
Right.
I tried.
Okay. Glad to be here.
Glad you're here. Thank you.
Doctor, you got to hear it once. Trinity Anderson from Washington, D.C., where are you? Are you here? Maybe not here yet. Okay, maybe she got lost. Dr. Betty Bullock from Baldwin City, Kansas. Dr. Betty, how are you?
Hi, Betty. Good to see you again.
She's been around for a little while, too.
Did you go home after the Midsummer Conference?
Yes.
And then come back here?
Oh,
okay.
Yes.
Wow.
And then she's going to hurry back to the humid, sticky weather there.
Right. So I'm here defending the much maligned name of Kansas over the past several years. We've been Hey, we're the land of Oz.
Yes.
We gave you the rainbow, so, you know.
Thank you. Thank you. And Dorothy did want to go home.
Yes, she did.
A little head injury there with that tornado. Anyway, go ahead.
I know, that's what I'm saying. He's like right
He's
there.
He's hanging around.
He's having a good time.
I
forgot my easy button. He'd have showed up for sure. Kimberly Hollister from Raleigh, North Carolina. Kimberly. Hi.
Hi, Kimberly. Right.
Are you
here for Obama School?
I'm here for the Obama School.
Oh, wow.
And as I walked in, there were about four people that said, you're in for it. And I'm like, now I'm starting to get nervous.
Look at the reputation you guys are getting. Jeez. Yes.
So I just wanted to say hi to my sister, Connie. Yep. Hi, Connie.
Thanks.
Kay Salisker from Livingston, Texas, but they've kind of been all over the place.
Yeah.
And Tom's with her.
Kay and Tom, good to see you again.
Great to be here.
Great to be here. Yeah. We're not from Texas. Originally from Wisconsin and Minnesota. Been traveling for 8.5 years in our RV, but it's great to be here for the first time in the Crimson Circle homeroom. So great
to
be
here. So where is the RV right
Texas.
Now?
RV's over near Fairplay, Colorado.
Okay.
Parked at 10,300 feet. So.
Okay. Wow.
Nice and cool up there.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice and cool.
Yeah, it's a little warm here today.
There ain't nothing wrong with Texas.
Only our mail goes there. It's gone there for 8.5 years.
Okay. Yeah.
It's got to go somewhere.
Okay. Why not Texas?
Why not Texas? Yeah. Largest mail service in the world. So.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow. Well, thank you. Good seeing you both again.
Gerald Pottle from Layton, Utah. Where are you, Gerald? There you go. Hi, Gerald.
Hi. Gerald, you were here bright and early this morning, like about 9:30. I want to make sure you got a good chair, and you're still in the back.
That's
there.
Right. I'm still back here.
I wonder how that happened.
All these ladies kept pushing me back.
Well, they will do that.
You got to watch Shambra.
Yeah.
And whereabouts in Utah are you from?
Layton, north of Salt Lake.
North of Salt Lake.
Yeah. It's my second time here.
Yeah. Well, good to see you again.
Thank you.
Glad you're here. Is that it?
Yes, honey.
Okay, we have a lot of material to cover because...
Wait.
Okay.
We should ask, are there any other out-of-towners? Because I know sometimes you guys just sort of wander in like gypsies.
Anybody else? That wants to be acknowledged?
Yeah.
Or
don't be shy.
There you go. Right here.
Because the first time I was in the Obama School, you didn't talk to me because I'm local, so... Now I'm a remedial student in the Obama School, so... I give acknowledgement today. Carolyn from Pueblo.
Yeah. Good to see you.
Glad you're here.
Is that it? Okay.
That's it. Well, we have a lot of material to cover.
Yeah, my goodness.
Four shouds since our last gathering, so we're going to kind of go through there. You know, I didn't go into the detail of each one of the shouds that I normally do, but I just want to kind of bring everybody up to speed. I had to bring myself up to speed, actually.
I know.
I had not gone through the shouds, particularly the ones from the midsummer, and I know they were good. I mean, I know they impacted me. And I was going through them last night, putting together the infamous slides. It's like, wow, there's a lot of material. If you haven't gone back through either listening or reading to them, it would be really a good idea. So much happened in 2 months since our last meeting in June. So we're going to go through the last shoud of the Clarity series, Remember, he only did 11. He didn't do the 12th shoud. And he said, this is the last one. And Tobias said, go ahead.
You are ready. You have all the tools. You have all of the words and all of the energy. From here forward, we move into the realms of true teachers. Our next series, which will start in August, will be called the Teacher Series. We're going to work with each and every one of you to take what you have learned over these 7 years of time and do the teaching that you came here to do.
So Tobias really came out with kind of a marker for us, kind of a major transition. He said we've been going through 7 years of shouds and lessons, kind of getting up to speed on everything, getting all the background information. And he said as of the shoud in June that things were going to change, even the way that they work with us. He said it's time to be teachers. That's what we came here to do. And he said he was going to start today's channel off with the teacher series.
It felt like a graduation, but I couldn't figure out, was it like kindergarten or high school?
Well,
or?
I think we're going to find out.
Okay.
And actually, this shout really tied into then what was done at the Midsummer Conference.
True enough.
With the three that were done there. He went on to say,
remember how you and I, St. Germain and Kathumi, sat around the cottage and talked about this lifetime of yours. Remember when you asked me to remind you why you're really here? Remember when you said, now, Tobias, even if I don't believe you, even if I don't believe that I didn't need to be here on earth in this lifetime, even if I thought you were talking to somebody else, please remind me over and over again.
And I'm sure he will.
And they have.
Yeah, and they have. As you remember, may remember from that shout, Tobias is saying that we really didn't have to come back in this lifetime, that we had done everything that we needed to do. We'd actually cleared the karma. Actually, we didn't clear karma. We went beyond karma, where we realized it doesn't need to be anymore. We realized we really didn't need to do any so-called clearing anymore. That's just a form of processing. So he said, we volunteered to come back to Earth at this time, knowing it would be a major time of transition, one way or the other, and that we were coming back here to be either transition workers, if there had been a major catastrophe on Earth, or transition workers for consciousness. And that's where we're at right now, transition into consciousness. He went on to say,
today is a wonderful day to shed those old concepts of why you thought you were here. It's time to shed those old lessons that you've been giving yourself. You're not who you think you are. You're a part of the Crimson Council. You're here on Earth right now as a human teacher to help answer the calls from the millions and millions of humans who need help every day. That's a big job.
As Tobias said, that there, we've gone through so much of this stuff. Even in this lifetime, we've given ourselves the experience of learning how to move beyond duality. And he said that right now there's millions and millions and millions of people on planet Earth that are ready to move into their new consciousness, but they don't know where to turn. They're going through a spiritual awakening like what we've gone through in these last 10, 20 years of time, but they don't know where to go. They don't necessarily want to go to the churches. They don't necessarily even want to join a New Age group because to them that's kind of like another church. There's books to read, but they don't have the teachers that they're really looking for until we're ready to do that. And when we are, by the way, they come to us. He went on to say,
the world is calling out for teachers. Humanity is a point right now of being very untrusting of anything. And that is one of the biggest energies that you're going to have to deal with. They don't trust governments. They don't trust the churches. They're not going to trust you at first, and they definitely don't trust themselves. This will be your biggest barrier, teachers, to develop that trust and rapport. They've been tricked. People are still stealing their energy, and they are still stealing from others.
You can really feel it from just about everyone. There's just a general lack of trust, and it's worldwide. You know, it's here in the States. It's just about everywhere we go. People have their guards up. They've been tricked, or they've been had before. They've been used. They've been abused. So they have their walls up. And Tobias is saying, be very aware of that as you start working with them. One of the biggest issues, or according to Tobias, the biggest issue is going to be the trust that they have. They're going to wonder, are you just somebody else trying to sell them another thing? Are you trying to take something from them? Do you really understand what they're going through? And he said, it's going to be very important to build that trust and rapport with them and then get them to trust themselves again.
But I like that because having been a classroom teacher, you learn very fast if you're in a situation where you're really working with people and teaching. That's the first thing you have to walk into the room with.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Good.
As new energy teachers, expect the unexpected. Understand that there will always be surprises. Even when you try to quantify how the new energy works, that quantification will not be true even the next day. You're so used to old energy having its very specific, deliberate patterns. If it's measured a certain way one day, it's going to have the same measurement the next day. New energy doesn't work that way, thank God. With a big G, that's...
With a big G.
That should be God with a little G.
I didn't type it. But anyway, that's a very important point, that in duality, things tend to be repeatable.
Right.
If you have a certain input, you're going to get a certain type of output. Things have the same reaction over and over again. And he's saying, as new energy teachers, expect the unexpected. Once you start bringing true new energy into your life, it doesn't work like old energy. I think a lot of people are a little confused about new energy. They're saying, well, where is it, and how do I use it? When is it going to be delivered to my front door? It doesn't work that way. It's already here. We're learning to integrate with it, but the first thing we have to learn is it's nothing like the old energy. And even when we get a taste of it or an experience with it, our tendency is to want to go back and do it again the same way. And he's saying it doesn't work that way. Well, it's kind of frustrating. It's kind of, because we have certain expectations. It's frustrating, but Tobias is still telling me, he said, you'll really learn to appreciate that it doesn't work the same way each time. He said there's a real blessing in that.
And you know, it's kind of a challenge, too, because we've talked about the fact that even with the CCEC, mm-hmm. the new company, that it's really been a challenge because people are, you know, you want it to be a new energy company, and truly it will be, but it's still having to be created from within an old energy structure that is part of what you have to do. It's the starting place.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, we can make it new energy, but we're still being forced to deal with it.
Yeah. And that's okay.
I know.
That's okay.
But that's the tricky part.
It is.
Okay.
Tobias went on to say.
I love this
He
part.
Was actually, he went through a list of things. He said that as we move into doing our true teacher work, that we're teachers and stewards, and he listed 8 very defined areas, which was really good. I liked
that's
the way he
really
outlined
lovely.
It.
It was nice.
He said some of us are going to be teachers and stewards of Earth. For instance, working with the energies of Gaia, working with nature and those type of things. He talked a little bit about how Gaia is going to have a difficult time supporting the growing population on Earth. Not that it can't, but the way we're doing things right now is going to put an extra stress, an extra load on Earth. So there's going to be some from Shambra that work specifically in that area. Not necessarily exclusive in that area, but really have a focus on Earth. And this was so nice that he laid it out, because we're talking about the new Crimson Circle Energy Company, and we can actually start putting together programs for each one of these areas. So it was nice that he did that.
It was really nice.
Whoops.
Oh, let's read them off.
Hang on.
We should read them off.
Yes,
yes. So there was Earth.
And then business.
Uh-huh.
He talked a little bit about the fact that business is an important energy mechanism right now. A lot of us tend to think that it's bad or business is negative or we've had bad experiences with it. But he said it's actually a wonderful tool. He said that business right now, international commerce, is actually one of the best ways of preventing wars. Wars tend to be based on nationality or religion. But when you mix commerce in, it's a lot more difficult for countries to go to war with each other because they become kind of intertwined with each other.
They have relationships.
Yeah.
And relationships they don't necessarily want to damage.
Exactly. And he was saying here that business can be a wonderful tool. Obviously, we want to do it in a new energy way, but it doesn't mean throwing everything out.
Right.
It just means bringing it to the next level of consciousness. I know that for so many metaphysical people, spiritual people, that money is an issue in their personal lives, and they just hold it as an issue. It's like, well, that money thing is bad. And we've gotten our share of it lately, talking about the Crimson Circle Energy Company. It's like, oh, they're just after money. And it's like, yeah, yeah, okay.
Well, it's about exchanges.
Let's take the spin off of that. Let's dust off the old stuff. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just energy. It's like saying that energy is bad. It's really how you use it, what you do with it. And Tobias was very emphatic, has been for quite a while, by saying, if you're going to be a teacher, no matter what form, if you're going to be out and you're going to have to travel around, you're going to be busy, as we found out, you're going to want a nice house and a reliable car, and you're not going to want to worry about bills. And also, you're going to want to set a good example for the people that you're working with. So,
well, there's a huge difference between creating an exchange that allows you to do the work and to allow things to occur and basically feeding off of someone. And
right.
There's a huge difference.
Yeah.
They're not the same thing.
You talked about the arts, that it was so important to promote the arts. It's the creative expression, whether it's music or painting or anything artistic, that society is getting away from that. Society is getting very intellectual, very... I don't know what the antithesis is.
Can we say that in conjunction with education? Because I have.
Yes.
Well, there's that, and he also said education, and it's interesting because there's a real extreme connection with the two. What I've been seeing, I have friends that are very involved in education, so I still get the articles. They're talking about the fact that because with this no one left behind, that now the schools, they don't really teach anything other than the what they call the test,
yeah,
which means there's certain skills they teach, and it's very narrow to that focus. But basically, because they're teaching to the kids being successful on a specific test with specific answers and specific scores, there is nothing being done in the idea of creative or creative problem solving. And while on the surface they appear to be gaining some successes, what they're giving up in creative thought, creative problem solving, and the true inventiveness that we've all been known for, particularly in this country, we're losing so much ground because we're basically, we've taken all the creativity out of education. It's really quite sad.
Yeah.
So that's a big job, and I'm
right
up for it.
I know you are.
Okay.
And so you talked about education. You talked about the importance of technology. Technology is a wonderful tool. It's the very reason why Crimson Circle has grown like it has. We started out in the teepee, moved over here shortly after that. But technology, from the back of the room here and from all the staff working the cameras and the internet, has allowed us to reach out and touch people all around the world. Technology is a wonderful thing. And he said, you know, it's important to be teachers and stewards of that area.
That's exciting, too.
Medicine and healing. There's I could go into a long thing about the healthcare system right now, but...
It's broken.
It's broken. And it's also very limited. It's getting better. There's more people turning to alternative types of healing, the things that many of you here do. But it's really the melding together of regular or traditional medicine, new energy medicine, and all these other things. Tobias has a real specific view on it. He says the body knows how to take care of itself. We're just not letting it. We're not giving it permission. The body totally knows how to rejuvenate. He's talked before about some of the what I call mirror healing. If you put a healthy person, a balanced person, in the same room with the sick person and allow the person who's imbalanced to mirror the energy of the balanced person, he said that's one of the most effective ways of getting the rejuvenation process started right away.
Where do you ever say that?
We have a lot of talks. What do you think I'm doing at night before we go to sleep? Oh, no.
Don't make me tell them.
I have to take a pause here for a moment and say Linda deserves special acknowledgement because we kind of don't have a life anymore. We work hard during the day. We work up usually until 9, 10 at night. We go to bed exhausted. And that's my second job. I go to bed and I go off and start talking to Tobias and the others. And I'm kind of moving around all night.
You know, sometimes I actually have to wake up in the middle of the night and just tell him to all get out. It's just like
she does. She throws Tobias
really
out
do.
Of the bedroom.
I really do. I really do.
Can you believe that?
And not just him.
Yes.
But whatever.
And the others. That's something. That's actually
well,
not
new. Well, I like
new.
It. That's very interesting.
That's actually from the temples of Tian.
Oh.
Go figure. Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. So, medicine, divinity. Divinity, I mean, you could also call it church or whatever you wanted, but humans right now have such a hunger for spiritual information that resonates with them right now. Not from something that was written 2,000 years ago, not from somebody who's never really experienced it. Maybe they went to a theology school, but they haven't lived life. He said there's a need for teachers of divinity, where we don't get stuck in dogma. We don't have a bunch of rules and regulations. We talk about, I am God also. And then finally, new energy. He says, there's going to be teachers and stewards who are really learning to work with and understand new energy, how to bring it into duality, and how to apply it to all of these other areas. So it was pretty exciting that he kind of wrote the curriculum for Chamber University.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That would
smart,
be the outline.
Pretty smart guy.
The outline.
I don't know why that slide is in there. Oh, yeah, because next, after the shout, last time, we went to Breckenridge and we had four new ones.
The trio.
I'm like, why is that slide coming up?
Yeah, there are lots of slides.
The first was
that.
Tobias, and we're going to take a quick run through that. This is my pet peeve. I put this in here.
I'm as whiny about this as you are.
Okay.
We're going to ask that this painting be placed in the Chamber Service Center at Lake Tahoe. Carl Uldrow is arguing as he paid for this painting out of his own pocket. But dear Coldrow, perhaps you'll begin to understand how the money just flows. Spend it! Spend it! And we know Linda's cringing a bit here, too, but it flows. Yeah, great.
We have a great... We have a big wall, a blank, empty wall in our house that's been blank for as long as I can remember. And I've always wanted a painting there. Well, Anthony Budovich, who lives in Houston, is a very, very talented painter. And I talked to him a while back, and I said, I want a painting 4 foot wide by 5 feet tall for this wall. And he came over to the house. He took pictures, so he understood the color and everything, you know, that was needed.
And understand, I'm whining all the way saying, do we really need to spend money on a painting there? Maybe we should look at another table first, and maybe we should buy this first.
No,
so I'm already whining about it.
We need a painting for
that
wall.
That's what I get
and
for whining about
it. I said, I would
it.
Love to see your interpretation, Anthony, of the story from the Book of Tobit of Archangel Raphael with young Tobias and the dog. So he did. It took him several months. He sent me pictures, and you know, we looked at colors and design and things like that, and I didn't change a thing actually, which was unbelievable. But so Anthony presented this painting at the Midsummer Conference,
and I'm thinking this is actually pretty good. Now I'm glad Jeff made a good decision.
And I was thinking, well, that was a lot of money. Anthony's worth every cent. Someday I'm sure the painting will be worth $1 million. But Tobias gives it away in the first channel.
It never even made it home.
It's sitting on our living room floor right now, propped up against the wall that it should be hanging on. And it looks absolutely beautiful. I mean, wonderful. But it's going out to Lake Tahoe. So, anyway,
whatever.
I had to put in my grape slide here.
Well, thank you.
We'll get on with the regular stuff from the channel. So Tobias went on to say, with me pissed off.
So, you have the body, you have the mind, and the spirit. But there's something missing. There's a missing piece. You've known it, and you've looked for it, and you've cried for it, and you've tried to recreate it. It hasn't been there, and in a sense, it couldn't be there until now. We had to go through 7 years of discussions and shouts. We had to go through it. We had to go through a series of doorways before we could discuss this missing piece. Seven years.
So, because one of the questions that was bound to come up, why didn't you just say this 7 years ago, Tobias in the tent? Forget the, you know, the thing that your guides have left. Just say, we got this new thing called NAST. Excuse me. Go ahead. Well, that's what it sounds like. Go ahead, read this next slide.
Who are you channeling now?
That's what it sounds like.
Like Mike Myers. Okay.
Go ahead.
That
next,
was nasty.
Next slide. I said NAST. Go ahead. Go ahead. Some of the words he comes up with, I'm like, what? You know, but after a while, you get used to them.
Okay.
Go ahead.
In the original design of the biopsycho nature of humanity, there were the four aspects. The body, there was also the mind, there was the spirit or the life energy, and there was another component, a beautiful component, called Deu.
Deu Nost. Gesundheit.
You don't even sound
like that. Kleenex.
Okay. It was shortened over a period of time to be known just as
Nost. When Tobias was first channeling this on words that I don't understand, I'm like, okay, spell it so in my mind's eye so I can see it. And I saw it as D-A-Y and then O-O-N-G-N-O-S-T. And I have to do that when I'm channeling because otherwise I'll get all mixed up. So I hadn't really thought much about it, but when we were having the shouds transcribed, Gene actually sent me an email and said that you looked up Deonost, and Dei would be spelled D-E-I, which means God or spirit, I believe. Un means one, and Nost means knowledge. And it's like, oh, that's what he was talking about. So it's the understanding of our one God. And I thought that was pretty cool. So thank you, Yup, for researching that. Tobias went on to say.
Okay. The missing piece is the component that is creative and knowingness. It's the ability to bridge between the non-physical realms and the crystalline realms and bring that consciousness down into the earthly realms. It's the ability to very rapidly manifest dreams using the balance of body, mind,
Nost.
And spirit. This piece has been missing for a long, long time. It's time for it to come back, but in a different way. We're not going to go back and activate the old
Nost.
It's been hiding for a reason and wants to come back in a different way now.
I think that's a very, very important point, and I've had a lot of questions since this channel. A lot of people are saying, well, why don't we bring back the old? Some people are saying, you know, I've been using it for a while. Tobias is like, no. First of all, we don't want to go back and just bring back the old because we are literally in a new energy. So it's going to come in a different way and serve us in a different way. And he's saying also in here that it's if you think you've been using it, matter of fact, he was very specific. He said, if you think you've been using it, you really haven't been. He said, this is brand new. We as a group of consciousness of Chambra have been getting it prepared, but he's saying it is just coming in now. The tough thing is I asked him to describe it, and he said it's very difficult to. There'll be a lot of discussions about it. He said the important thing, just start using it. You're going to discover for yourself. And I know talking to a lot of you that you've been doing that, it's different. It's very unusual. I don't want to go into any details right now, but it's amazing. He went on to say,
the Atlantean implant went into many, many, too many, and eventually, because of this, it flowed into the ones who didn't have the implants. This implant of mind control was so strong that it actually seeped out into mass consciousness. Even if others hadn't had this type of mind control or brain surgery, it eventually found its way into consciousness of everyone. It still exists today. No one was left out, huh?
No one was left out. What he was saying is that we originally came in with four components or elements, body, mind, Nost, and spirit. Nost was the ability to take an idea and then manifest it on Earth. It was kind of the link between the other realms or the crystalline and here. By the way, that's also why he doesn't want us just bringing back old Nost, because back in the Atlantean times, according to Tobias, we did link to an external crystalline realm or creative realm. Now we're linking to our internal crystalline being. We're not going out there. So that's why he's saying if you're trying to bring back the old form of Nost, it's not going to work very well right now. But if you remember in the Shoud, he was talking about, well, what happened to it in the first place? Well, there was a lot of experiments done in Atlantis. Some that were done, mostly that were done for the good, but a lot of times they kind of got carried away. We were trying to conform the physical body so that we all had approximately the same height and size and things like that. So it was easier to fit into clothes, I guess. But we were trying to standardize the body
because
the shapes
statement.
were were varied and different. We were also trying to standardize the mind. Some people had very active or large minds. Other people, well, they didn't have that kind of mind. So we were trying to conform everything, and at the same time, Tobias said we were trying to be very communal. For instance,
like Star Trek.
I could not watch Star Trek,
I
which
know,
probably
I know.
Was good. But we were trying to be very communal. He was saying even the and if a mother had a child, it was raised by the group, not by the parent. Everything was very communal, and it was very wonderful. And he's saying, by the way, that's why it's tough right now for Schomburg to go back into communes, because it smells and tastes and feels too much like Atlantis. And he says, it just doesn't work. We're learning that to be independent. We're learning to be sovereign right now. So I'm going to stop carrying on. But all these mind...
No, it's great that you carry on. I just
so all these mind things, we're trying to... We're literally controlling the mind. As part of that, it was felt or whatever that this element of Nas, the creative flow, shouldn't really be part of the whole scenario, because that's kind of what differentiated people. So through the work that was done in Atlantis, we kind of pushed this this fourth element off to the side. And then there's some rather nasty little experiments that were done with large groups of people that deliberately shut off that flow. Tobias has talked about that. I remember in the workshop in Hawaii, boy, he went into that in detail, and he had everybody in tears.
Including you.
Including me. But it's been shut down for a long time. So he went on to say...
What's that got to do with, like, Sylvan mind control? Is that just
Tobias has never been big on mind control. He hasn't liked affirmations or visualizations from the very start. I remember somebody just reamed me out one time at a workshop in Canada. Yeah, sorry. because Tobias said, you know, stop doing affirmations and visualization. Well, because it's a form of mind control. You're running through the mind. It's not really truly creative. So he went on to say, I know we got a lot of slides.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how to do it. That's the frustrating part, because the moment I do, it'll disappear again. It will go into hiding. I can't give you a formula because there's not one. It's very personal. There are no methods to do it. There is not any type of incantation or ceremony. It's up to you. It's up to you, but what a perfect place. What a perfect opportunity, as we are here somewhere between the Clarity Series and the Teacher Series, to discover and to rediscover
Nast. So it's a strange thing, and I hope he talks more about it today, but he's saying this Nast, he doesn't want to explain it right now. You have to experience it, because if it's explained too much, then we'll go mental on it, and it is not a mental process. So it's something you have to experience for yourself. And by the way, if somebody comes along and says, I'm writing a book about Nast, you know, not. If somebody is trying to tell you that, according to Tobias, his thing, not mine, he said, if they're trying to tell you they know all about it and they're going to teach it to you right now, forget about it. You've got to experience it for yourself. So I started working with it. I had a situation that developed after the Midsummer Conference that was frustrating, and it kind of threw me off balance. And, you know,
was I involved?
No. And you look like you wanted to be, though. But it was a difficult situation. And I found myself really struggling, really frustrated. And all of a sudden, it's like, this is a wonderful opportunity to use Nast. Not even knowing what Nast is. That's the tough part. The mind wants to know. It wants to say, well, what is it? What is it going to do for me? And let's analyze this. It's like, no, I'm not going to. Nast is a solution. According to Tobias. So I did a little breathing. I forgot about the problem. And I said, Nast, come on in. Be with me. Help me in this one. And it did. And it was strange. It unfolded in a way I would have never figured. It wasn't like magic. It was beyond magic. It was perfect. Everything just kind of balanced out, but on a different level. And it was amazing. And it cleared some junk that needed to be cleared. I don't want to go into the details, but it was amazing. So I've been using it ever since and still learning. It's not like every time that I go to use it, because I still have my old expectations, but just play with it. That's the key word, play with it in your life. Anything that's you're having some challenges with that you don't understand, just bring that fourth element in.
His channel kind of supported that.
Then Kathumi came in for the channel. And that was, Kathumi's been away for
too long.
A long time.
Like 6 months.
Oh, longer than that, darling.
Is it longer?
Yeah. He was pissed last year at the Midsummer Conference that he wasn't on the schedule.
Oh, that's right. He had to interrupt.
And he hasn't been around since. So I think he was like pouting. Anyway, it was a delight to channel Kathumi again. I was a little nervous.
Oh, have you looked at the video?
No, I have not looked at the video, and I won't. But anyway, Kathumi came in, and it was classic, I want to say. It was amazing.
He was over the top.
He was over the top.
He was definitely influenced by Michael Meyer.
So he came in and was having fun. And, you know, Kathumi is humorous, light, and wise all at the same time. And this was no exception. He started by saying,
"You probably have been wondering where I, Kathumi, have been for this long, long time. I've been writing books. I've written 4 books, and just like many of you, I will be offering these books. I will offer them a bit different through my own celestial website. You can go there and download them free of charge at any time you want. You can go to KathumiSings.net.
It's like W-O-W, KathumiSings.net, because his name is Kathumi Lal Singh.
Oh, he's so clever. Wow, it makes me want to cry.
It was funny. You had to have been there. But it was funny.
No, he's
it
funny.
It was so funny. I'm cracking up laughing. The channeler's not supposed to do that. You're supposed to be neutral, you know. It's like the court reporter, you know, all of a sudden breaking down crying or laughing, you know, during a deposition. And
actually, you know what it is? I'm convinced of it. He's so light, and his energy is in such a way that really you could hear from people's laughter and their participation that he really channels with people very present and in the now. You can't
go to sleep.
Going off in the zone doesn't work with Kathumi. It just isn't there. So I'm sure that's intentional, because he just has you on the edge of your seat with his silliness.
I know. He was great. Okay. He went on to say, he's talking about his 4 books now.
Okay. The first is titled Silly, Silly Humans, A Guidebook for Dummies Who Want to Remain Dummies. Uh-huh. It's amazing how many humans literally prefer to stay dumb. They choose to repeat the same problems and crises over and over. They go from one bad marriage to the other. They go from losing one job to losing another, health issue after health issue, and they're choosing it. So I want to help them with my book, Silly, Silly Humans, How to Do It Better, How to Struggle When You're Truly Having Problems, How to Enjoy the Whole Life of Problems, if that's what you are choosing.
That's his first book. Second book. You got to read this, sorry.
My second book is called Good Blowing Job, How to Get Ahead with the Breath. I don't mean to upstage Andrea here, for she does a wonderful job of the breath, but my breath is quite a bit different. Oh, yeah. When things get difficult and challenging in your life, just take a good deep breath. Blow it off. You try to make it so difficult at times and so confusing, but you could take a breath like, let's do it right now together. Go ahead, you do it.
You hear the whole group doing breath, but have you noticed truly that if you're really stressed out or whatever, just stop. Take a deep breath, you know, just blow it off, you know. Just get rid of that tension. It really does work. And if you don't believe me, spend a little time with Norma.
Actually, it was really funny to hear 400 people do a good blowing job.
It was. His third book is?
My next book is How to Be Kind of Good Looking in an Otherwise Ugly World. I look at all of you, and just like me, you're kind of good looking. But instead, you reflect some of the things that are going on inside of you, which really aren't yours to begin with. You reflect what is taking place in the world all around you, and sometimes you judge these things as being rather ugly. You have a difficult time accepting it. In my book, we talk about true compassion. Compassion for everything around you, looking at the beauty that has gone unnoticed.
And by the way, he says that he is truly written these books on the other side, and he's just waiting for whoever wants to channel them, put them in writing, come out with them.
they've been coming out of the woodwork.
I've had some requests, yeah. and it's like, fine, you know, they're not my books. Just, you know, go ahead and
tap into Cthulhu. Has anybody volunteered for the blowing job book?
No, not yet. and his fourth book, and the one that he based the rest of his talk on was?
My fourth book is a simple one. It's not very long. It's easy to read, and I'd like to have it about today. The title is, You Don't Have Problems, You're Just Bored. And dare I say another word about it, the title is self-explanatory.
He went on to talk during the rest of the channel how so many people, they really don't have problems. They really truly are just bored, so they create problems. And he says you really don't have problems at all. The only thing is you just don't have a solution yet. I see what else he said here. I kind of forgot.
Okay. My desk is a problem.
Your desk is a problem.
Okay.
But I have a solution.
Oh, I was afraid of that. No, you can't light fires in the house. Okay. Humans tend to get caught up in the whole syndrome of problems. It's addictive energy. They actually like having problems. You know how to turn a room full of humans silent instantly? Tell them they can't speak about problems. This is what humans do. They talk about problems. They go over problem after problem after problem, and when the problems disappear, they create new problems because they're bored.
The thing I love about Cthulhu, he's amusing, he's funny, but there's such wisdom in that.
He's clear.
It's such, so simple and so clear, and so something that's very important as teachers to understand that some people really do like having problems, and they just stay in those over and over and over again.
Problems also prevent this thing called
deu-nost
from working. In the mind, if the mind is occupied with problems, this fourth leg of the stool,
go ahead,
nost, will back off. It will honor and respect the fact that you are choosing problems and choosing a very crude and rudimentary way of handling them through the mind. Human problems literally keep nost away.
Very simple point. If you're working on, if you're all caught up in problems, Nost, a solution energy, isn't going to come in because you're having too much fun with problems. It's going to stay away because you're enjoying what you're going through with the problems.
Oh, and of course, for the finale,
Adama Saint Germain. I knew what he was going to do
before he
did it. He told me the evening before. I was
is that
up
why
in,
you had a headache?
Up in the room. No, I was a little upset. I was having a hard time. Saint Germain, I guess, did me a favor by saying, here's what I'm going to talk about, but it really bugged me.
Is that why you wouldn't go dancing with us?
No, I was worn out, but it really bugged me. And actually, it was when you were down dancing that I was sitting out on the balcony of our hotel room having a little talk with Saint Germain.
Did anybody get bruised?
No, but I didn't like it, and a lot of other people didn't. And haven't ever since.
Uh-oh.
But he explained.
Did we lose some more Crimson Circle?
A couple here and there.
Uh-oh.
Saint Germain started by saying,
if you look at the astrology and numerology of the day, you'll understand why the conference was chosen to be here at this time.
In Breckenridge.
That's correct. You had originally planned your conference to be held at the great beautiful lake of Tahoe, but that was not possible. All of the convergence of energies, including the schools and the classes that you've had in this very location in the past, made it necessary to be back here again today.
And I forgot what the numerology was. Maybe a 22,
yeah,
or something like that.
Yeah, it was.
It was July 16th, 2006. So anyway, 22. Thank you. I don't know anything about the astrology of the day. I don't know what sign did that come under, Norma? In July 16th,
Cancer.
I don't know anything about that. So, did you have a birthday up there, David?
Actually, a couple days after.
After, okay. Sorry about that. Happy birthday.
It's a perfect birthday.
Yeah. But anyway, so he was saying that everything had come into alignment to be there to do what we were going to do.
What's the energy of four? They've always said that was really important.
Exactly.
Okay, and not that Saint Germain should ever be undone for like being so spectacular, but this sentence is 47 words.
Wow.
Okay, there is nothing wrong with structure. This one is. It's important to move raw energy into structure, ground it into the type of creation you choose to create, and then allow it freedom. Allow it to change and flow in response to you and the reality state that you are in a given moment. So often when energy is structured, it's applied to the moment, but then it is not allowed to be free to move into the next moment.
So you're talking about how structuring energy is a good thing, and I think it's leading up to what he's going to do here.
Actually, it was a really good. It was really good. I liked it.
Yeah.
Today we're going to initiate the energy of Crimson Circle, and each who chooses to become a standard of the Crimson Circle. We have carefully chosen the word standard. In the past, you've used words like knights or priests, or we've used other secret words to identify each of those who participates in the order.
So Saint Germain is going to do an initiation. And if you remember, Tobias had asked us and asked all the presenters and speakers at the conference, no initiations or no meditations or anything like that. He wanted to keep everything clear and focus it on this one initiation. What kind of got me, it reminded me too much of past life stuff, I think, when we were in orders, and at some point where I said, never, never, never will I do that order thing again. And I know other people had the same reaction, but yet here we were doing it. Saint Germain was saying that it was important to ground the energy of Crimson Circle on Earth. We've been working together for 7 years, but they wanted to do a real grounding. I get so excited to hit the next slide. They wanted to do a real grounding and make it very, very real and apply some structure to it. But the structure being such that we were willing to let it be free and open and flowing.
There was no red Kool-Aid.
No, there was no red Kool-Aid. But actually, when we were doing the initiation, well, we're going to, I think we have some slides on that. It was beautiful. Go ahead, next slide.
And I'm going to invite people to, you know, listen, because when I read this again, it was sort of sweet. It really did it again, in a sense,
right,
if you choose it. A standard is a level of quality. A standard is a foundation and a pillar. A standard is an example to others. A standard is a beacon of light. A standard brings in the appropriate energy at the moment. So we choose, with you, with a bit of reluctance perhaps, for the initiation of the standards of you, initiating you into the order of the Crimson Council.
And I think the reluctance was me, not him. And I think it was a lot of people sitting there. And was there anybody here that was at the conference that went, oh my gosh, what is going on here? I mean, like Linda said, where's that Kool-Aid in the back of the room? And, you know, I think it pushed a lot of buttons, and it was very appropriate that Saint Germain was the one to be pushing the buttons. It made us, I think a lot about the past, think about joining together with groups, think about why we're here on Earth right now. I kind of know why he did it. We've had a wonderful journey these 7 years together, but in a sense you could say we've been kind of floating along. We've been going through the lessons and the shouds, and he's saying now it's time to do the work that you came here to do. No more floating, no more having some nice channels once a month. He said it's time to get to work, and we're going to ground this energy with the initiation. And like I said, my buttons are really being pushed on this.
Okay,
he went on to say,
for many of you, the emotional pain is from being asked to leave the order. The remembrance of what it was like to step before your council and be asked to leave. There's a feeling of rejection, the pain of being put out from the group you love so dearly, who you committed yourself to so dearly, who you fought for, who you defended.
And he was talking here about orders or groups, particularly spiritual groups we've been with in past lives, or maybe even in this lifetime, where we've committed ourselves to them. We've gone into seclusion and isolation, been in monasteries and convents. I was going to call them nunneries,
not
but
me.
Convents. And
nunneries.
Going back, you know, hundreds of years, thousands, even back to the temples of Tian was a type of order. And at some point along the line, perhaps more than once, you and I were asked to leave. We're thrown out of our order, the thing that we loved so much. And I kind of had this picture of like we were thrown off and we went out into the desert by ourselves, you know, kind of ticked off, a little bit angry, and saying, never, never, never will I commit myself so much to a group where I'm just giving of everything of my body, mind, and soul. And here he's coming along saying, we're gonna now ground and initiate the order of the Crimson Circle. I thought, what the hell is going on?
When you get thrown out of a place like that, you're supposed to walk out the door and say, I've been thrown out of better.
Yeah, but yeah, exactly. Sweetheart, that's for a bar in Wisconsin. Oh. That's
well, you know. And, whatever. It seemed appropriate.
And before he got into the initiation, he talked about what he called the way of the standards, or guidelines, I guess you'd call it.
They were sweet.
Of the standards, yeah. There was four categories, and within each category were four ways or kind of guidelines. And the first standard was self. And these are really quite simple. They're really beautiful and kind of a culmination of 7 years of channels. Love yourself. Number one on the list of all the standards, love yourself. Because if you don't love yourself, you're not going to...
I can't do that as good as you do it.
If you don't love yourself, you're really not going to be an effective teacher. You're just faking it. Learning to love yourself is one of the most difficult things that a human will ever do. It's easier to find the love somewhere else. It's easier to actually beat yourself up. But to learn to love yourself, everything you've ever done or been... it's a tough thing. When you learn to love yourself, you're going to be an amazing teacher. Second was follow your own truth. There's a lot of truths out there, a lot of different truths, a lot of different ideas. Follow your own. Some interesting chat on the Crimson Circle message board, St. Germain's trying to pull something on us, and I knew it, and they're trying to, you know, they've got this whole thing, and it's a conspiracy, and they're trying to take our money, and they're trying to take our souls, and it's like,
sometimes
I think
you can
he said,
spend too much time on that board.
Trust yourself. Trust yourself, or follow your own truth, and trust yourself. Very important points. If it doesn't resonate with you, nobody's going to make you do it. If it doesn't feel right, if it's not your truth, if you don't feel your energy is part of Crimson Circle, that's fine. That's fine. But trust yourself, follow your own truth, and be abundant. Abundant is just the natural flow of energy. That's all it is. Be abundant in everything. So take care of yourself first is really the first category of standards. The next is creation. Take responsibility for your own creation. In other words, you're not a victim. Anything that's happening in your life, everything, you're responsible for. The moment you take responsibility for that, the your creations will change. They'll all of a sudden become yours, and it'll be a lot easier to do.
Well, you're responsible whether you realize it or not. That's the whole point.
Exactly. Sooner or later. Give your creations life and freedom. We have a tendency to create something. Say, you know, I want a new job. But then to restrict the flow of what that creation really is. What you're creating an experience in your life. But we tend to have very defined boxes around it. It has to look like this and it has to look like that. Creation energy is very flowing. Creation is actually quite simple. You create an experience that you want to have in your life. Being totally abundant. But don't go putting boxes around it or limiting it. You give it its freedom. You give creation its own life. And it's an amazing thing. You're the creator of it, but it's not like you want to restrict it or hold on to it. You let it go. And it unfolds in amazing ways. Create without limitations or expectations, kind of the same thing. We have real defined ideas about, well, I need a new car. But then we have certain expectations of how it comes to you or what it looks like or things like that. It's just don't worry about it. It'll show up. It'll serve you in ways that the mind can't even imagine. And finally, create with Nost. Nost. Meaning bring in this fourth energy. Don't go through the mind. Allow this. Nost is really the creative knowingness or the manifestation energy to come in. The third category was the way of the standard is life. Choose life. It seems real simple, but a lot of people are not choosing life. They're choosing survival, maybe. They're choosing maybe not to be in pain, but they're not choosing life. Have compassion. Accept the blessings of life. Life itself. Tobias and St. Germain always say that the master allows all energies to serve them. And there's tremendous energies all around us in life in general, from other people, from nature, from ourselves that are willing to serve us and bless us. A lot of times we close the door on that. And then finally, honor your life as life honors you. Honor your life as life honors you. And the fourth category, the way of the standard, is teaching. Be a teacher to all who come to you. And Tobias keeps saying they will. They'll show up.
They do all the time. And it's not whether or not they're showing up. It's whether or not you allow it and realize it. It's already happening. It's just a matter of, do you allow it? Do you sense it? Do you feel it?
And teach in joy. It's not a duty. It's nothing you have to do. It's not an obligation. Teach in joy. Teach it because you love to do it. Teach it because it's a passion. Teach without expectation of reward. The rewards are going to be there, but if you go into it saying, well, I'm going to be a new energy teacher because, I want to make $100,000 a year, kind of defeating the purpose. You're putting an energy spin on it that it doesn't need. Just teach without expectation. Everything is going
to
be there for
you. All
you
have to do for that is to sign a contract in public education.
That's true. But all the rewards come in from other places. And then finally, teach NOST. I know Tobias is going to talk more about that. So those were St. Germain's standard ways of the standard. And then he finally did the initiation.
I think you should read this.
I can't. I don't have my glasses
on. Are you sure? Because your voice is so special.
Please, go ahead.
Okay. Thank you. It's time for our initiation. This will be a silent choice for each of you. If you do not choose today, you can choose at any other time. If you are not here in person, you can choose now or later. If you are reading or listening to this outside of this now moment, understand that you are truly in this now moment, crossing through time and space to be here, and you can also choose now or later.
This was something that he was saying, if you wanted to do it, it felt right then, fine. You didn't have to. You weren't going to be thrown out of the club or anything like that. If you wanted to wait, that was fine. You'll know when it's right for you, if it ever is. It may never sound right or feel right. Nothing wrong with that. But he did use this opportunity at the Midsummer Conference with almost 400 of us in there and I don't know how many listening online. To set up the initiation, which he...
Can't we do this part now? There's so many people that weren't there.
Actually, it would take a while. Let's keep moving. No. It's just not appropriate
okay.
right now.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, I asked.
And he now, at this point, he had asked, he said there were six angelic beings, which would be, of course, Tobias, St. Germain, Kathumi, Raphael...
Oama
and Kuan Yin. And then he wanted six corresponding humans. So Linda and I were already on stage. He called up Janice Burney, John Kaderka, Norma Delaney, and Garrett Anofsky. And at this point, I'm getting choked up. I mean, it was like, man, you could just... The energy in that room was incredible. It was awesome. He asked David to ring the bell, the chimes, 22 times. And I remember thinking, oh, my gosh, I'm so glad I'm not David. First of all, you got to concentrate and get those bells to ring, you know, together. That's not easy. It's a hell of a sobriety test. And
had Betsy couldn't do it 22 times.
So as he was starting, you know, I paused in the channel, and I was listening to the chimes, and I started counting because I'm a Virgo. Started counting along with him. And saying, I hope he gets it 22 times. I hope he does it right. Because I thought if it was me, I wouldn't have been able to.
No way, me neither.
And at 17, I was so out.
Exactly.
Where I went, but I lost it at 17.
So,
but he did it 22
applause
times.
To
a big
David.
Applause
David.
For David. Yeah.
The best dinger I know.
Yeah. And then St. Germain said these following words.
You sure you want me to do it?
Go ahead.
By the authority granted to me, by the Crimson Council, in the name of all that is, in the evolution into the new energy, I initiate the order of the Crimson Circle and each of you as standards.
So as much as I had thought, like, what is going on? And, you know, this is too weird. As much of all that was going through, when he got to the initiation, it was a beautiful moment. I mean, it was incredibly memorable. And touching. And he also asked that a medallion be put together. He was going to help me with the artwork, which we haven't done yet. And a certificate, if anybody wanted that, they could. If they don't, that's fine. But I know he's got some ideas in mind. So it was beautiful. This is a photograph during the initiation where he called John and Norma and Janice, Garrett up to the front. And it was just, I had my eyes closed. Of course, I was still channeling, but what a moment. What an incredible time. So those were the channels. All that in 2 months. We've gone through a lot. Incredible. So I'm going to go through these.
Four channels, Jeff. Four channels.
I'm going to go through these recent events very, very quickly. I apologize. Hope I'm not offending anyone. But
they don't mind.
We were in Oslo, June 10th and 11th. Wonderful group there.
Beautiful.
Oslo is a beautiful place. We held the meeting in this facility right on the harbor, right on the bay. It was really nice energy for the gathering. Here's our sponsor, Jan Johansson, with his wife, Venka. Just wanted to get a picture of them in there. They did a great job in organizing. I think we had almost 200 people.
We did.
We're in this amazing room overlooking the bay. It was really, really nice.
Really special.
Of course, Norma and Garrett there with us. Norma up there doing her thing with the group.
I wonder if she was breathing.
Yeah, I think she was. And it was really nice. We got to perform a wedding ceremony on Sunday morning. There was a couple in the room that wanted to get married. Linda and I are actually licensed ministers, like a lot of you are. And we did the ceremony. But
why
it was,
not?
It was beautiful. It was kind of a new energy wedding ceremony.
It was sweet.
Yeah, and they're still married. kidding. I'm kidding. And as always, as you probably know, Shambra loves to dance and go out and get together, eat. It's not about eating. It's just about being together. And we do that all the time.
The weather was beautiful. You can see we were outdoors. It was
This is in Norway. I think this is 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Seriously. I mean, it was like amazing.
Yeah.
Try to sleep. I get up at 3 in the morning, and it was light out. I mean, it's kind of like what twilight is around here. It was really strange. Tobias went through a beautiful series there. We're calling them the Oslo Sessions. It talks about control. It talks about how control is everywhere in our lives, but mostly from ourself to ourself. This is like 5 CDs, and he goes through a whole series. It's a fascinating
CD
set.
It's really nice material.
And we do have these available on the Internet, or if you're here today, we have some at the table. We did our first Dreamwalker transition, our first Shambra University school ever, where Linda and I and Tobias didn't do it. Linda and I sat in the back of the room. Jane Hamilton guided
correct.
The group. We had a group of about 50, I think, in Minneapolis. And she took them through the Dreamwalker school using the DVDs. And I don't think there was much of anything that was lost. I mean,
no. You did a live Q&A as it just...
I did a few live channels. But,
yeah, and an intro.
But it was great. And it really showed me that this concept of teachers getting out there and attracting a group and using the course materials that we have now, they can actually do it. Really works.
We're really excited about that
piece. We want to thank Jane for that. Events that are coming up here quickly. Dreamwalker Birth School. It's the second portion of the Dreamwalker trilogy. It will be held in Taos, New Mexico in about a week.
Yeah.
And I think we're almost sold out.
There are
just
a few spaces left.
Yeah. But St. Germain is going to take people through the process of how a soul comes back to earth.
Is it as scary as leaving?
It's scarier. Trust me. We've had some talks about it. It's not a pretty process. But if you want to learn how to be a birth dreamwalker, helping an expectant mother bring the being back in. He's going to talk about the process of how the angels select the parents, if a selection is even involved.
Yeah, is there?
And the connection that's made.
You have to wonder.
The connection that's made during the 9 months of pregnancy and even things that happen even a year after the actual birth takes place. So it'll be a fascinating school.
Wow.
We're doing Dreamwalker Death Transitions Training. If you want to be a teacher, if you want to go out and teach other people how to do dreamwalking, we're doing it at our new office in Incline Village.
It's the first time we've ever offered this. It's the first time we're specifically teaching teachers, and you'll be literally certified to go out and teach other people how to be dreamwalkers.
Dreamwalkers.
We're really excited, and it's the first thing we're doing at Incline Village.
Yeah, which is where our new office is.
It's a beautiful place.
It's happening. We have about two spaces left on
that. That's about it.
But you'll be a certified teacher, not just a dreamwalker, but you can go out and teach the classes. We're doing a Tobias workshop in Linz, Austria, mid to late September. When we say Tobias workshop, we don't know what he's going to do. It's always kind of a surprise, like Oslo was.
Right.
It's Saturday, October 14th. We're doing three Ask Tobias sessions here in Colorado. These are the ones where we develop all the CDs,
the
like dreams and pets and sacred geometry. I don't know what the subjects are yet, but I know Tobias.
I know at least one of them. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to be such a smart aleck.
We're doing the Dreamwalker Death Transition Teacher Training. If you're in Europe and you want to be a teacher, we're going to be in either Zurich or Frankfurt. We'll know in the next few days. Limited to about 30 people. So if you're in Europe and you want to be a Dreamwalker teacher, then we'll be doing
Is it a prerequisite that they went to Dreamwalker?
Yes, you have to have gone to Dreamwalker. We're doing the Physical and Psychic Sexual Energy School in Frankfurt, Germany, October 27th through the 29th, with translation. Personally, I think this is one of the best schools. It gives you a basic understanding of how energy works and how it's abused. Anybody here, you don't have to raise your hand. We did one recently after the Midsummer Conference. It was great. Awesome. We'll do a teacher training for sexual energies workshop. If you want to be a teacher, that will be November 7th through the 10th at our new Incline Village office.
And you will have to have attended one of the sexual energy schools to be eligible to be a sexual energies teacher.
You have to experience it for yourself. From there, we go to Tokyo, Japan to do the sexual abuse workshop. Hopping over to Sydney, Australia right after that, again for the sexual abuse workshop.
I thought you said you were never going to channel that again.
I know, I know. I never say never. And then finally, we're going to participate with Katerina Padula in
Adelaide,
Australia for a Dreamwalker Death Transition. She's going to be teaching it. We're just going to be, there supporting her, helping her. Very quickly, the Crimson Circle Energy Company. Boy, have things moved on that.
Poor Janice, the what do they call those pains?
Labor pains.
Labor pains, yeah. That woman's gone through for us. Woo.
I mean, we are actually doing it. We're not talking about it.
Mm-mm, it's happening.
We've opened an office in Incline Village at Lake Tahoe. If you haven't been there, it's one of the most beautiful places in the world.
Really, truly.
We didn't intend to open it there. It happened by coincidence, so to speak. We found an excellent location. Janice has been setting the office up. This is a couple of pictures of the office. It's in Incline Village, which is on the North Shore, and is absolutely beautiful. We have about 2,800 square feet. We'll have administrative offices there.
Classroom.
As well as our classroom with internet capability and webcast capability.
We'll do
and
it.
Actually, in the next few weeks, a couple of our folks from here are packing the bags and actually moving out to Lake Tahoe, including Michelle McHale. Michelle, go ahead and stand up. Oh, I know. When I talked to Michelle about possibly going out there, she's like, hell yes. How fast can I get out there? Siglinda Schrenzel is heading out there sometime next week. Siglinda, where are you? You're heading out to Lake Tahoe. Also, we recently hired Lisa Rogers. Lisa, are you in there? There you go. Lisa is now working with the Crimson Circle. Going to head out there in a couple weeks. And then finally, we've hired a business manager from Washington, D.C., Deborah Hackett, who will be joining us no later than October 1st, along with Janice Burney, who has been just working like you wouldn't believe lately, getting all
she
this set up.
She is birthing a baby.
What had to do office furniture, computers, leases,
everything you can imagine.
And Janice has been working day and night to
dealing
get it set
up. Dealing with a complicated landlord.
Yeah. So anyway, it is a reality. Finally, before we take a break, we're just a couple minutes late. I want to thank all the Chamber Angels who are continuing to support us financially. Obviously, our goal is to become a public company here. It looks like we're in the midst of all the paperwork now, but that it will be towards the end of the year. We'll keep you informed about what's going on. But in the meantime, it's your donations that are keeping all this going and making this happen, and we want to thank you for that.
Thank you.
It is time for a break.
Yeah.
20 minutes. We'll see you back here for what Tobias has to say.